There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men TV. It's the match preview show. Liverpool hosting Manchester United Sunday afternoon, 4:30. Can't wait for it. And I can't wait for this chat with Sam Walker and Peter Kenny-Jones to preview it. Sam, you're literally wearing one of our 7-Up jumpers.
Oh,
we all remember what happened the last time this game was played. Man United haven't scored a goal at Anfield since 2018. It's been a very one-sided rivalry, especially at Anfield in particular, over the last few years. It's been a couple of draws, but more often than not, Liverpool have got the better. Yeah. And they've also handed out a few pastings, including that Old Trafford as well. The only thing that can kind of worry you in this is complacency or something. Yeah. It does feel like Liverpool are going into this game at the perfect time, and maybe they're not. I don't know. How are you feeling going into it?
Yeah, I agree. I think the football can do funny things sometimes. You get weird results at weird times, and you know, Tottenham going to the Etihad and getting a draw after 3 defeats back to back was bizarre. But you do feel, looking at it this time, and you're taking all the external factors and internal factors actually as well, that this is only heading one way. I think for us lot, it's about, you know, I don't think it matters as fans as we'll be bang up for it. It's more a case of the lads going into it as if it's the biggest game they play all season, and you know what, to some extent it is. Last year I was still flapping it at 4-0 and having a great season,
yeah.
And you just don't know what's going to happen with the Reds, but this year you're looking at it sniffing and smelling blood.
Absolutely, fingers crossed. And it's interesting, people, we'll talk about Man United first and what they're going through at the moment. It's weird really, because there was a time where they were actually, results wise, they were in good form. They were winning, they weren't playing particularly well, but they were winning games. They were top of the form league at one point. They were just about getting by. And then it feels like in the last week or so now, it's kind of caught up on. They got absolutely played off the park at Old Trafford by Bournemouth. They lose to Bayern Munich, who aren't on to play for really, and 1-0 kind of almost flattened Man. A must win game, they had, and they had one shot. Yeah. Like, it does feel like, you know, you talk about reverting back to the mean, and it feels like Man United may have done that in this last week or so, where, you know, they were getting results, which is, you know, fair credit, there's merit in that sometimes, but it feels like in the last couple of days, in the last week in particular, it feels like it's kind of come crashing down a little bit on them.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's had that perception that they're having a bad season, haven't they? And I think what's happened is the European form has just bled into the league form at last, from our bias side of it. But yeah, you can tell, like, the whole feel around that club, it's just like, it's the total antithesis of what we're like, and, you know, just the positivity and the stability that we have is just totally different there. And, you know, as you said, that Bayern Munich game, although they had a good team on paper, they had nothing to play for, and they were playing like it, weren't they? And they were just going through the motions. And I think it was Ferdinand and Scholes after the going like, oh yeah, well, like, we kept it steady, and like, at least we didn't concede, and that's how far their standards have fallen. But so you are still scared to say all this because the next game, and although we are smelling blood and we're all praying for 7, 8, 9, if we can even better last year, but it's one of them, and it's still United, it's still at Anfield. But yeah, definitely it's in our favour at the
moment. What's interesting, Sam, from my eyes, I spoke before with Beth from the United stand. We're going to up a preview, it'll be out on Redmen Plus very shortly, and she made the point, what it might mean is that, you know, Man United have been crap and they've got loads of injuries and suspensions. It might mean to Ten Hag that he just goes and maybe tries to do something different. They were very open at Anfield last year, and every time they lost the ball, Liverpool killed them. And they've been very open in games so far this season, especially away from home, it hasn't really worked for them. The fact that, you know, they're going to have a bit of a makeshift back four, who knows, in front of them, there's no Fernandes. There is a chance that he maybe just comes and goes, you know, we park a bus.
Yeah.
I've seen Man United in the past go to, like, City and just park a bus and hit them on the counter. That is the only thing that might work in their favour. If they were in good form, like, last time, they rocked up at Anfield and they were in decent form and we were crap. relatively. And they tired players off the park and couldn't. I wonder, one of the criticisms of Erik ten Hag has been he's trying the same thing over and over and over and over again. Yeah. That's the only, maybe he changes up at Anfield and goes, you know what, we'll go three at the back, or we'll go sit deep or something. That could be the only way really where Liverpool don't score plenty of goals against them, for that I can see.
Yeah, I think there's a few factors in this though. I mean, last year, completely without making it a final word, Joe, for last year's game, they had the best team out. They were flying. Yeah. They were like, Rashford scores every game. It was, that's what I was saying to you before that 4-0. I was still nervous because United just seemed to pull it out the bag all the time. Yeah. Anyway, looking forward, I think the thing I mentioned to friends and people who are associated with United this week is, when I'm talking, I say, what worries me from your perspective, definitely not mine, is that because of the injuries to Maguire, to Shaw this week, because Fernandez is out, I'm looking around their team and I'm thinking, where's your senior players? Where's the lads who've got enough experience to deal with the fact that we're going to have 6,000 more fans than we have all season, 7,000 more fans, according to James Pearce? So for me, that's the worry for their part is, yes, you can park the bus, but who are you looking to? Because Hoyland, kid, Garnacho, kid, Anthony, waste of time. Like, you can go through their whole team and there's no one bar McTominay who I'd hang my hat on and go, do you know what, lad, you're probably going to leave it all out there. The rest of them are probably be looking at each other. So
even the experienced lads, like Varane, doesn't want to be there. Like, he's probably going to play. Him and Johnny Evans are probably going to be sent back. I think Lucio will play. I think Erik ten Hag's
fit.
Well, ten Hag said he's going to train today. So he's not guaranteed he's going to play, right. But there's a chance he plays right back Wan-Bissaka. There's no...
They're going to have to play three at the back. They have to.
But I'm not sure they've got three centre backs.
Well, if Shaw,
they could play Luke Shaw and play a left back potentially. You move on to the midfield, then Pete, and it's no Mount, he's injured. No Fernandez, no Eriksen, probably, definitely no Eriksen. We know that. No Casemiro as well. It looks unlikely that he's going to be anywhere ready before the new year. You're looking at maybe if he goes with three of them, depends on what he does at the back. Amrabat, McTominay, Mainu, I think the young kid, maybe that. If he goes five at the back, then probably come Mainu, doesn't play. Like, there's nothing in that Liverpool will be too scared of. We've obviously got our midfield injuries and issues that we'll talk about later, but yeah, you know, even, and then you go further forward, it's probably Hoyland, Anthony, and then one of Garnacho and Rashford, depending on what
if Rashford's fit. Yeah,
if Rashford's he was talking about the other virus, whatever. It doesn't frighten you, does it? It isn't the most fearsome Man United team that's ever turned up at Anfield.
Yeah.
Is there anything there that would particularly worry? Maybe the Rashford Trent thing in the past? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think McTominay is a good player, as you said.
He's scoring goals, hasn't he?
He's not fashionable, is he? He's not the foreign big star that they like to sign for 50 mil on deadline day or whatever. He's just kind of functional. And as you say, he does well for Scotland and he's been scoring goals. You know, I'm not saying I'm sitting here terrified about Scott McTominay, but he's someone that you will be looking out for. But very defensive as well, as you say. I think we know Amrabat was linked a lot with Liverpool, wasn't he? And I don't think he's exactly won over many fans since he's been there, but you know, he adds a bit of defensive stability. They've also got that young lad, you said, that Kobe lad, who has looked very, very impressive as well. I think he did well against Everton, didn't he, when he came in. And so I think, you know, it's probably set up, as again, as you said, for a team sitting in and trying to get a 0-0 draw. And you know, why shouldn't they? Although it's Liverpool United, you know, we've been on this many times, going to Old Trafford and you'll take a draw.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that team, from the options they've got with the injuries they've got, they're very much set up to try and sit in. And obviously, so yeah, you say Trent, if they're trying to attack that side, but you know, Trent's been playing really well recently. I wouldn't be overtly worried about that. So yeah, I think it's probably set up for defensive and maybe not much off the bench.
I was going to say that. I was just going to add that the problem they've got is they've kind of threw everything at it on Tuesday. All right, they get a couple more days off than us, but our lads were sitting on the couch watching our game, the main spine of the team. Yeah. So
they lost Maguire in that game.
This is what I mean. So I look at them and think, what have you got on the bench? Like, you're going to have to play 100 minutes of football against Liverpool without any options on the bench when it gets to the 80-90 minutes, even if you're tight in the game. What have you got left? Yeah.
Martial's out. Do you have anyone not in there in terms of striking? It is difficult for them. You can see why it's all a little bit doom and gloom. The massive thing is, though, they're only like 6 points off top four. It is weird that it goes back to where I said this to Beth earlier, I don't want to go too much. I said, like, is there any shoot? Because if you can turn around, then you're not that, you haven't lost that much ground in terms of if you can. It just feels like it feels a tough one for them. before we speak about like Liverpool's team news and stuff, guys, I'm going to do the latest of our Red Men legend draws. Sam, could you grab that book for us there?
Yes, the Heskey one.
Yeah, that's the, just give it away for those listening. But yeah, we're giving away this a copy. Oh, go turn around, mate. You can present Diego a copy of Emil Heskey's autobiography. Emil Heskey, I think it's called Even Heskey Scored. We're going to give a copy of that away to one of our Red Men Plus legend subscribers. If you want to be in the hat for any of these draws going forward, go to redmenplus.com. Sign up as a legend. We've still got loads of prizes to give away. We give away a signed Dirk couch here to a guy in Chile the other day. I've sent beer mats to America. We've honestly, it's been, I think, action figures to France. Yeah, it's been crazy. So someone is going to get a copy of Even Heskey Scored now. And we've got loads. The star prize in these draws will be the Christmas Day prize of a signed Ibu Canate shirt. I mean, we won't be doing that draw on Christmas Day because I won't be here, but Boxing Day we will, so we'll do it then. So yeah, let's spin the wheel if we can bring it up. There we go. All of our legends' names are on the wheel. We're going to bring it up now. Congratulations and well done. The copy of the book is on its way to... I mean, this could very much be a way. Liam Bento, as usual. Liam, congratulations. Liam's always in the streams. I'm pretty sure Liam's from South Africa, so there you go. There's an Emil Heskey book on its way to South Africa. There's more postage that we're paying for. This is costing us an absolute fortune. Honestly, it's probably costing us more than we're getting in the subscriptions, but it's fine. We love you guys. So yes, congratulations, Liam. We'll get in contact with you in that
bit. It's not for it, because obviously he's local, isn't he? He's married into one of the local families and know them. His son's doing really well, you know. His son's at City and he's flying. He's like, I think he's like 15, 16 day, yeah. playing, but yeah, he's a good, he wants to look out for, maybe, I don't know if it's Jaden, it might be, but he's a good
he's
player.
He's got two of them, they both play for City.
Yeah, the older one's flying though. Yeah, them, I believe both of them are talented. Yeah. But yeah, so
keep an eye on young Heskies. Yeah, you've got a couple of young Heskies on the way. And right then, let's talk about the Reds, because that's what we're here for. Last night was a bit of a thing. It happened. It is what it is. Did we learn anything yesterday, Pete, in terms of what Liverpool are going to do? Obviously, the main players didn't go. I say, mate, with all due respect, but like Van Dijk, Alisson, Trent, Salah, etc., didn't go because they're being rested. Yeah. A couple of guys, if there were any question marks about like certain players, I'm thinking maybe up front where Gakpo plays 90. I'm thinking maybe midfield as well. Did you learn anything yesterday of those, like, but those areas that could be under question because some lads are guaranteed starters? Did you take anything from yesterday in terms of who you think might be getting the nod on Sunday?
From Gakpo, innit, he's probably not going to be playing start. He wouldn't give him the full game with team. Like, to bring Nunes and Gakpo at the same time hasn't really happened much, has it? So that seemed quite a deliberate ploy in order to make sure that Gakpo got his minutes, because he probably hasn't played as much as he's wanted to. But yeah, I think other than that, we know, is it? I think obviously McAllister, I'm sure, will go into, he probably isn't going to be fit. Well, they said he isn't going to be, is he? So it's who goes in that midfield. And no one massively took the chance, but at the same time, it's a tough game and you can't really read too much into it. I said the main shine of light I thought was how well Quansah played. I thought he was really impressive, and you know, I think he's, I'm not sure he'll touch on it, but I know he's had some criticism for what he said about Matip afterwards, but he's just shown that he's hungry and wants to be at the very least our fourth three centre back, and I think last night he's shown that. So I think that was the main positive to take. But in terms of teams, actually, I think it just means Nunes is defo starting, I'd say.
Centre back's interesting, Sam, here, because Ibu Kanate and Kwanzaa both start. Kanate goes off, Gomez comes on. Kwanzaa starts at Palace, but I guess the fact that he gets 90 probably suggests it's going to be one of the other two, and you'd guess it's probably going to be Ibu.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, I think even if he does score the hat-trick last night, Kwanzaa, just purely down to the minutes played, the fact he played the majority of the game against Palace all of last night, at his age, you don't want to put him through another tough, grueling, intense game in the Premier League on Sunday. It's going to be a spectacle, that, as well, in terms of, regardless of the result, it's going to be a spectacle, isn't it, the game? It just makes sense. Ibu needed to play, because if he didn't play midweek, he's played, what, half an hour in 2 weeks? It just doesn't really add up, does it? So I think, yeah, it did. I'm trying to think, when did Matip get injured? Was it Fulham?
So
there's not big, there would have been big gaps between when Ibu last started, so it just makes sense for me. I think that's an obvious one. I think the teams, you can almost piece the team together by who didn't play. There's only probably one which you're going to talk about, I assume, in midfield in a minute.
Liam Bento, who won the prize, by the way, is in the chat, says, right on, lads, Merry Christmas. He's actually gifted 5 YouTube memberships out as well, so thanks, Liam.
Class that.
Congratulations to you, and yeah, nice one for paying it forwards. Top man. Yeah, I'm guessing then, we presume, obviously, Alisson, Tsimikas, Van Dijk, Kanate, Trent, and then midfield is the one. So it's obviously like plays, so we don't have to worry about that one. it's gonna be Endo, Pete. It's gotta be, hasn't it, with Carlos there? I mean, he said it's not that serious, and then said, but we could see his bone. The stud went to his bone. I don't know, man. Like, that's how serious to me. If I ever get a cut where I can see any type of muscle or bone, I think that's quite serious.
Yeah.
So that feels like it's quite serious. Yeah. So it looks like it's gonna be Endo again. DM, how are you feeling about Endo playing against that Man United? Well, it's gonna probably be McTominay and probably Manu, like you said before.
Yeah. Well, I do like him, and I say that this is again his role. I think we touched on last time I was here talking about Quentin. Like, if why are they in the squad if not for this moment? And that's his time to come in. I think it seemed quite deliberate that Elliot and Endo were starting all the Europa League games. I think whether it was fully agreed or just his plan, but for them to start, I don't think maybe you read too much into that. Elliot's looked a million times better off the bench, and the only other player we could really play there is if you push Trent in, but again, I just don't think he'd do that against United. And maybe you try a Szoboszlai in there to eat, he's like the quarterback role. But yeah, I think Endo playing it is fine, and yeah, I'm happy for him to get that.
That is the only other potential, Sam, is Gomez plays right back and Trent just starts as a DM. Can you see that?
I think it's quite a big move for that type of game at the moment. But what I would say is Klopp's started to make moves, hasn't he? Like, half-time last week, he'd done it in the middle of the game against Fulham. We're seeing it more and more. I can't remember if it happened at all against Sheffield United, but we're seeing it more and more where Trent is coming into the midfield as a place, not a placeholder, as actually is his positions in there. I've got no issue. I think the problem we have with Endo and Elliot for their excuse for them, so to speak, it would be when you're playing with kids who've never played together, some of them it's their debut starting, it's very difficult to impose yourself in a game. The only thing I would say about Endo, and I've seen it a little bit in the Premier League as well, is he needs to stop dawdling on the ball. He's better than that. Curtis done it the other day as well, but we're not talking about him at the minute. Endo, he dawdles. If he stops dawdling and just releases it, he's a good player. Yeah. Wins tackles, he's physical, but stop dawdling, because that's when we lose the ball and get countered on.
Mike, he says he in the chat, you know, Man United will be looking at the USG game and targeting him, and also like, that's what Palace did. Palace just said to Will Hughes, every time he gets it, go and take time, boot him off the pitch or get it off him.
Yeah.
And it kind of unsettled a little bit. And I think, again, I don't read too much into USG game because it's a non-event, really. It is one of them, but that did happen there as well. Like, if you're Man United and you're going, right, we need something to hang our hat on, going to a place where we've been battered and never scored a goal, if you're Eric Ten Hag and you're trying to give them a bit of encouragement, you might be saying, listen, it isn't Alexis McAllister on the ball there. When it goes into the six, it's probably Endo. Yeah. And we've seen a couple of teams get due. So Sam's right. He'll have to improve on his last two outings if Liverpool aren't going to be targeted again in that situation.
Yeah. What did you say? I think we've all been maybe a bit surprised about how attacking he has been as a number. Like, we thought we'd sign just this 30-odd-year-old who's just going to come in, run around, protect the back four. But he has been going forward. And to be honest with you, is defending not, and like, he's not doing it well. I just don't think he's cute enough in the way he does it. Like, you know, when he tackles someone, there's no way that you're not going to think he's trying to foul. So, like, he's jumping on people's backs and he's kicking their legs and that. So there's still stuff to learn. But, you know, he's probably got no one in there who can really speak the language that well with him. So he's a lot of settling in, isn't there? And obviously, he's got the German connection, I get that, but it's still early days for him and he's not getting a lot of minutes. But the last couple of weeks he's picked up. I think since that Fulham game he's got no reason not to be on a high still from that. So yeah, if you cop, you put your arm around him and say go out and do it. And as you said, the last game we put Trent there at half time, that's an option. It's good to have those options, isn't it, in the game.
Absolutely, yeah, especially with Norman McAllister for a while. We'll see how you guys on down the line, I suppose. Sam, Szoboszlai on the right, I mean, Harvey Elliott might feel aggrieved, he kind of says as much in his press conference, but again, it looks like he'll start on the bench, which I think is probably going to happen. So then the manager's got to decide against two guys who did play yesterday, different times of minutes. It's Gravenberch and Jones are the two other options, really. Yeah. He could do Gakpo, but I would. He's done that before.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. But left hand side of the three, I thought it was going to be Jones originally.
Yeah.
But now I'm edging Gravenberch. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, it was funny because last show we were talking about trust in the system. But I actually think in this game, the reason why I hope it's Gravenberch, I think it will be, but the reason why I hope it is him is because he drives at teams. Yeah. And sometimes when you play against teams, he didn't do very well against Palace, he was pretty poor. But what he will do in this game is get at United, and if they're going to be defensive, take a man on, run into the space, and that's where up against brick walls is you're able to create the spaces and find the chinks in the mortar. So I think for me, it's Gravenberch on the style of play. I don't think we need to press, but it's not like we're playing against City or Chelsea away or Arsenal where you'd be like, we really need Curtis's pressing here and that specific skill that he's good at and winning it back. I'm thinking more of us on the ball.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I suppose, well, people, what might happen, again, we're half hypothesizing here, we have to be, but like, my United issue at the moment is that the space is too big between their defence and the back and the midfield, because they can't play a high line because they haven't got the players.
Yeah.
You know, they've lost Martinez, who, although not quick, that was kind of what he'd rather be a high line and getting bombarded because he's small.
Yeah.
If it is Evans and Varane, Wan-Bissaka, sure, that isn't a team that can defend high up the pitch. It just can't. It'll get absolutely roasted behind. Darwin Nunez will be in all day. Whether he scores on, it's a different issue, but he'd be in all day.
He's on side.
It feels like there's going to be a lot of space in like these pockets. And therefore, like Sam says, Jones is decent at that, but Gravenberch is probably more effective in those. Jones actually prefers tight spaces than that.
Yeah.
If it is going to be open, like if we think it could be, then it might suit more of a Gravenberch type player who, like Sam says, he's the closest thing we've had to like prime Oxlade-Chamberlain was for us a while ago, but he just wants to run with the ball and power through. He's got the ability as well, so maybe it is more suited to him.
Yeah, well, I think we saw even, we don't want to take too much of that Union SG game where he came on and he's the most positive midfielder probably in that game. That's it always. I think, you know, Elliot and Jones do like to go forward, but I say him taking the ball on the spin, I don't think anyone's quite got that same ability as him, and as you said, like that driving force he's got. I think, you know, maybe we saw it a bit more from Soberslide at the start, but I think consistently Gravenberch has been that person who's willing to take a chance, willing to drive a goal, and I wouldn't be against him playing at all. And but the good thing is, as we've said, the midfield, there's so many options, and that was the worry that we had last year, and we were probably a lot more nervous than we are now, is that we've got a lot of options in there now.
Sam, the interesting one, I've just said there, and maybe I shouldn't have, like, Soberslide will just play, and I think he will play.
Yeah,
but I think it's fair to say he's had a little bit of a dip. I know he scored against Sheffield United and he was all right, but he's had a couple of games recently where he's been taken off. He was playing all the minutes and that hasn't happened so much now. I can't see a world where he doesn't start, but if he doesn't, I don't think Harvey's done any more. Harvey couldn't do any more than what he's done really to get himself in the team. If Jürgen says, you know what, whether it's fitness or form related, he just doesn't need to play Soberslide from the start.
I think, and this contradicts what I said earlier about how difficult it can be to shine in these kind of teams, but I think the only way Harvey could have forced himself in the team is if he just absolutely bosses it, and just every time he gets the ball, he's creative, he's ruthless. Even if he's playing unbelievable passes that no one gets onto, or people are not doing anything on the end of what he's created, or if he's just puts on a show midweek, even if he's the only one on the side, then you might have the conversation to say, well, look at his form. But actually what happened is, we play a game against a weaker team, and Harvey isn't able to sort of reach out. I think the thing is with Harvey, I think he's going to be a brilliant player for this football club, 200-300 games, I hope more, but I think that because of his stature, his style, is the way he plays the game, he suits coming into the game when the other team are just wilting, or we're just on top and the spaces are just appearing because people are a bit leggy. He's perfect. I think with Soberslide, he's got everything, and he hasn't been unbelievable recently, but he hasn't been crap. He's just not been unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's been your 6-7 out of 10. He's been doing really well defensively, still makes his runs, he's still tidy. It almost looks like it's gotten too easy for him. I've been watching him do silly back heels and that recently, and I'm thinking, get that out, lad. But I still think he's worlds above most midfielders in the league, and I think he'll show that. And, you know, with having a week off this week, he'll have all the energy in the bank.
And in front three, we touched on it before, Pete, Salah, Gakpo, sorry, Salah, Diaz, Nunes looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Gakpo playing 90 on Thursday. I mean, he could do it. He could do it again. He's not unfit. Yeah. He hasn't played that much footy. It does feel like it's going to be Darwin up front, though, doesn't it, with those three beside them?
Yeah, I just think the lack of Jota as well. Obviously, there's not as much room to rotate it. And, you know, Ben Doak is definitely a good option, but he hasn't been the player we thought he might be in these Europa League games, as he hasn't been turning up as much. So I think that's the only half thought he could have, because, as you said, they're quite defensive, not going to play a high line. You probably want a more technical player. Gakpo coming in probably would have worked, but I just don't think we then have the option to change anything up front, unless bringing like Elliot on right wing. But I don't think that works as well as it does when he's in midfield. So yeah, it's got to be Nunes, you say. You're playing against Johnny Evans and Varane. You're stupid not to chip the ball over the top and let him run after him, and it just tell him to start 5 yards further back this time, so he improves his offside stats. I think him and Diaz are mad high up, aren't they?
Flagged a lot, isn't he? But I actually feel it's quite harsh, because I feel sometimes like they're flagging straight away, almost like they've been told. Do you remember that World Cup where every time Crouch jumped, he got a foul? It's almost like someone said, he's offside him, don't let it run, just flag. And sometimes you look, that was tight. Why have you not let that run and play out? And then when it's us defending, they let it run out for a minute, a corner gets played, and they realise it's 5 yards offside. But it is a bit odd, that, isn't it? Because he never used to be that offside.
Get a reputation, though, so I think he's literally, as he said, reputation.
What's happening with Jota? Because he was running last week.
Unfortunately, I can't tell you, because Jürgen didn't do a press conference. His press conference was
Thursday.
It was like, you know, before him and Vinny O'Connor just had a little gap on like Wednesday before they put it out. It was funny because I've seen it. I'm not sure all about. Fuck, I'm going to say it anyway. It was embargoed. I think it's out now. But at the start, Vinny O'Connor went to Jürgen like, you know, it must have been good. You know, you've just played the dead rubber, and Jürgen's like, no, and then he realised, oh shit, this is going out. You know, you pre-record something and you forget to tell the fella you're doing it. Jürgen went, like Crystal Palace, what? And then he's just nice about Man United. Like, he had no insight. So I guess as good as yours, might work out for a favour. Johnny Gordon, Mo Salah scored against Man United. You might know, Pete, you're the historian, but he scored more against Man United than any other club in terms of Liverpool.
11.
I had 14.
Sam was closer, actually. 12. He scored 12 goals against Man United, 11 against Manchester City, 10 against West Ham.
City. Wow.
And 12 against Man United. He's got hat-tricks in there. Which helps.
He got two that year, same year, didn't he? And then two the year. Yeah, I can remember seven of them.
So I can say he scored in January 2020, obviously, the goal we all remember. Yeah. Two in the FA Cup, when we got beat 2-3-2. Then he scored...
Two in the league game.
He scored in the 4-2 at Old Trafford, in that green kit in the COVID season. Scored a hat-trick at Old Trafford, two in the 4-0. He scored the goal when we got beat at Old Trafford last year.
Yeah.
And then two in the 7. Yeah, so most hours are 12 against these.
Wow.
I mean, he'll be fancying 13 this weekend, won't he, Sam? Because like, it does feel like there's goals for Liverpool to be scored here.
If you're Mo Salah, you're looking at it going, Haaland's out, I don't know how long for, I'm three goals behind him, I've got to capitalise. I think he probably would have thought that before Palace, but that game was horrible. He's thinking now, and this is the way he thinks, by the way, only because he's a winner. Like, absolutely, even when he's playing crap, he's a winner. And he scores goals. I can see him sniffing blood this weekend, and he'll be thinking as well, if he's smart, between 70 and 90 minutes I'm going to get space to get two or three goals. Just hope Mo's at it, because if Mo's at it, these have got no chance.
Yeah.
Especially in that goal, he's got to throw one in, isn't he, Pete, at the moment? Like, he is struggling. It's interesting because at times he looks very good, and then there's other times he doesn't know what he's doing. I think someone said, didn't he, you know, he's starting to find his feet, and I was like, yeah, but they're on the end of his arm. What's he doing? Like that is something like you'd expect a cop to be on him. There's a loud Anfield, there's 7,000 more fans, which is awesome. The new stand is now open and ready to go. They crumbled here last year, and that was like David Heyer, who's mentally was known as like quite mentally strong. If this lad is having one, or potentially has one, there's going to be no mercy shown by Anfield, and there's going to be no mercy shown by Mo Salah. Like, that could be something that Liverpool really try and take advantage of. He is not having a good time in Arnhem at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's it. Everyone's going to be on their backs, whistles, cheers, whatever. But to be fair, I think he gets that everywhere he goes now. But this is what
he's an intermediate, can't argue it.
But this is our biggest crowd, I think, for 50 years, and I think since 1970 to 80, we won the league. So it's got to be louder than ever. So if we've ever got on someone's back in the last few years, just as you say, add an extra few $1,000, it's got to be worse. But yeah, I'm not sure we saw that TNT put all the goals they conceded in the Champions League. And it's just, it's Sunday League stuff, some of the stuff he's doing, like that Galatasaray one where he's basically throwing it at his own net, getting chipped on his own line. And like even that one in Coburn in the week, and he's like, he's so one side in the goal. Yeah. He's tried to anticipate it.
Well, he gets beat terrible. In the middle of his goal, diving. Yeah. I've never seen
that. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't come out, does he? Like, yeah. He's already quite a small keeper, but he doesn't come out. He looks even smaller. So, yeah, as you say, I think all it takes is one dodgy moment. You know, he's already messed up at Anfield and went over his head for Ajax, didn't it? And Curtis Jones tapped it in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's already going to be nervous. And I say, you need Salah to capitalise on it, Nunes to maybe hit him early. Yeah. And that's all you want to
make. Their team is in a position where if we get a goal early, it will break them.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and Klopp needs to get them is like the more they get in the game, the more Onana, Johnny Evans, Varane get confidence, it'll build through. You get a goal early against these, it'll be like last year we got beat 7-0, shit. I was going to say, you know, it reminds me, Steve. Remember we played in that foot tournament and your Rob was in goal, right? Your Rob was belter, a meter all around him. Your Rob, not and got past him. As soon as he got 2 metres, he's in trouble. He's the opposite, this fella. Anything 2 metres away from him, he's getting 3 metres top in. As soon as it's in his inner circle, he's got no chance.
His whole aim for the corners, just like, I think he's just aim at him.
He's good there. He'll turn around the post, but if he gets it at him, mate, it's going through him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell your Rob there.
You'll be listening, probably. He fills the goal. Our kid done it. But yeah, right then, I'm going to get you to go things at the end. You guys in the chat, whether you're on the Discord or in the live, I'll get yours in a moment. Before we do, we're going to have a look at the rest of the Premier League and what this means. So obviously, going into the weekend, Liverpool are top, obviously. Arsenal second, a point behind us. Villa third, 2 points behind us. City are four points behind us. Go to the fixtures already, obviously, as tonight is Spurs versus Forest, a tough one, but Spurs you'd expect probably should get that one. City hosting Palace, Villa go to Brentford, and Arsenal hosting Brighton. I mean, they're not the easiest. You'd expect City probably should be Palace, although you never know. Going to Brentford for Villa and hosting Brighton, who knows? They've just had a big game in Europe. I don't know, Sam, but like, it does feel like come kickoff, there is a chance that Villa and Arsenal have gone above Liverpool and City have got to within a point. Does that impact Liverpool at all, or it just is what it is?
I think it helps us, really. I think actually if City go and draw and Arsenal get beat, put Villa to a side 2 minutes. But yeah, let's just say those two. I think it makes us feel like, oh, you know, this is we're flying here. But actually, I think it adds to it, makes it more intense. I make the crowd be like, we've got to win this game. Also, City don't play next week, so we've got to get the points on the board ahead of them. But looking at those fixtures, mate, I expect City to put a few past Palace. I just think they're there and City need it. I think Arsenal and Villa have got tricky games. Brighton getting that win at the end, yes, they will boost them so much. And Villa are just a really good team, but they're away from home. And I just think the contrast in their form is interesting. So I think out of the three teams at the top, obviously the four, City will win. I think we've got the easiest game, which sounds bonkers, but I genuinely believe that.
Because Man United,
because they're struggling, aren't they?
It is mad. The Brighton one's interesting. Arsenal, they've given them problems before. We've seen that people. Brighton look at their bar to run out of legs. They really are struggling. They've had so many injuries.
Yeah.
If this was like four, you know, at the start of the season, like, oh, Brighton, Arsenal, but there's a very good chance Arsenal, opposite the sand, they're going, if we just beat Brighton and then just make Liverpool beat Man United, put it back on their court, that's what they'll be thinking.
Yeah, of course, man. I think we know better than most what it's like to be in those type of duels, aren't they? I think it's just, it seemed constant every week. When it was us and City, it's like one's playing first, the other one's playing first. And basically, no matter what, we've just got to win anyway. So that's all Jürgen's got to say to the lads. And it doesn't change at any point. We've just got to go get the 3 points. And, you know, Arsenal are in good form. I expect all of them to win, really. And hopefully that includes us as well. But it's just one of them when you just, if they do drop points, you've got to capitalise on it. If they don't drop points, you've got to win. And as I say, it doesn't matter anyway. Just go win your game. That's all we can do.
It's a different. I understand it. It's a different Arsenal. But I'm just checking the form table between these two sides now, because some teams do have a little bit of a, I don't know, like a bogey team kind of. Brighton have almost been Arsenal's. I remember last season when Arsenal were chasing the league and they fell apart. They got beat 3-0. It was late on, to be fair. Like, by then. But then, so of the last, four Premier League games between these two sides. There's been two Brighton wins, an Arsenal win and a draw. Mm-hmm. Brighton also knocked them out of the League Cup. So they are a team, Sam, who've done all right against Arsenal. But again, it's different for Brighton because of the injuries. But they have shown, I think, if Arsenal bloody knows. Even that win was a 4-2. It wasn't easy for Arsenal per se. So it does, they're a team who Arsenal have had some issues with.
Yeah, and it's a little bit like us, isn't it? The style of football they play, the youngsters they've got, the fearlessness they play with, will play into their hands. It's down to Arsenal to score goals. With Brighton, you always fancy Brighton to get a goal in a game, maybe. You know, they've got options there. While Pedro's flying, is Ferguson fit at the moment? I can't remember. They've got options there. They've got some good players, but for me, it's down to Arsenal. Put your chances away, you win the game, but it is a tough game. And if you're not at it, Brighton will pass through you.
Yeah. It's very rare what's going to happen. As long as it's four, and Villa deserve to be told about this, I'm not going to disrespect them by not. It's very rare that all four teams will win on the same weekend. That seems unlikely, and it's just who it's going to be. My sense, actually, is that it'll be Aston Villa.
Yeah.
That they might draw at Brentford or something like that. I know Brentford are struggling with injuries themselves. They've just lost Mbeumo, which is a blow. But yeah, it does feel like Villa, you have to treat them with respect, don't you? They have to be included. Until they fall away, you've got to include them in these conversations.
You've got to bear the respect. The league position says it. And it's not just like other season, you're waiting for them to play someone big, which is, I think, what everyone was saying about Spurs, weren't they? That they hadn't played anyone when they were at the top. But they beat Arsenal, they beat City. If we'd have done that, we're all confident now, but we'd be saying, well, we're right in this, that we drew with City. Yeah. And obviously, it's away and home, it's very different. But yeah, they're definitely in it at the moment, and whether they'll be in it the whole way, but as you say, you've got to look at their results, you've got to count everyone's results at the moment. I know you say it's a bit rare if everyone will win, but it is shaped up for it this weekend, and I think everyone will go ahead. And as you say, I think City just look like they're about to click into gear, and I know maybe they haven't had the results, but you just worry it's coming. And I think that Club World Cup could be the perfect thing for them to take a side step, reassess, and then hopefully they're going to be thinking, hopefully they come back with silverware and then go and attack the rest of the season.
It's a chance for Liverpool to get that gap extended while they are away.
That's it though for us, isn't it? 7 points is massive.
Try and get that little gap extended before we're playing Arsenal that week, so out there we're thinking the same. We'll cross that bridge next week when we get to it. Right then, I did ask for some score predictions. Brian has gone for a 4-0. Mikey's gone for a 3-1 with Salah, Brace and Harvey Elliott as well. Let's have a little look. The Smoke, a nice name, says, I can't lie, 3-0, no injuries, and a win against them lot would be great. Yeah, I can't disagree with that one. Brian says, typo, I'm in 40-0.
I love that.
Stu's gone for another 7, and Freedom's gone for a little 4-2. Okay. Sam, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it'll be 4, but I think 4-0, but I don't think it'll be a 4-0 60 minutes past the ball round. I think we'll control the game. I think we might get a couple of goals, and then I think the third and fourth come relatively late in the game. I just think they'll run out of steam with the lack of options, but I don't think they've got enough quality to outscore us at Anfield, personally.
Pete?
Yeah, I'll go one better. I think I'll say 5. I always hate doing this, I feel like he jinxed it, but yeah, I think 5, and only on the sense that we said their team so crippled with injuries and a lack of being able to make subs, and we've had that break really for a lot of key players. So I think, as you say, it'll be tight-ish, maybe 1 at half time, but then I think we'll click into gear, their heads will go, and Nana will throw it at his own net and sell like a
people are going to be listening to this pulling in, I think, and you're jinxing us, you're jinxing us, and we're not, we're just giving our honest opinions. There's no such thing as jinx, it doesn't work. I said 5-1.
Fair play.
That was when Fernandez was fit or allowed to play. I struggle to see where they get one.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a breakaway or a shot.
Hoyland on the break, maybe Rashford gets something against Trent or something. Someone off a set play. I don't know. We are known to the odd little slip up, but I mean, I feel like between us, we predicted a guy like 14 goals or something, so we'll see how it all pans out. But I did say 5 as well.
Yeah,
I just don't see how they stop us, and that goalie's good to throw one in. He's one before you start for me. So.
Well, and our goalie in him, which Alisson, the difference he made in the Crystal Palace game, and we only got beat by a pen, and that was say what you want to say about that, probably was but whatever. But he is basically unbeatable, and he seemed like he's back with a point to prove. So yeah, very different goalkeepers at either end of the pitch as well.
Yeah, let's have a little look. KJSA says, on your logic, I want 9-0. Yeah, fair enough. Like, you know, we don't want to get. Hopefully, the players aren't overconfident. We've been that people of our age, and maybe some of you guys, we've been tortured by Manchester United for so long. give it to them, everything you can get. Yeah. Make these counts because it won't last forever.
Get them sacked.
Honestly, just honestly, oh, just keep another going one. At them. Be relentless, Liverpool. I don't care or save my legs. I want 20. If you can get it, you've got to just go and go and go. Right, a quick message before we go. Anyone in and around the London area, if you want to come and see the Redmen, our latest live show. So our Dublin and Belfast tickets have been on sale for a while now. They're still available over at ticketmaster.ie. Just search the Redmen TV. But people of London, we are coming down your ways. A lot of you were asking, when are you coming down south? It's been too long, so we've agreed we can't go too far. We'll go to London. London's close enough. So if you go to aegpresents.co.uk, just search for the Redmen live in there. Tickets are available now. We'll be there on the 24th of April. If you follow us on any of our socials, you'll see links there as well. But yeah, get your tickets now. aegpresents.co.uk, April 24th at the Indigo at the O2, which is pretty cool. I'm kind of just saying we're playing the O2. I'm lying a bit. It's like when people say we're playing Wembley, but like they're in the little arena next door. But we're playing the O2. I'm saying
that's what I mean. I've played there when I was in my DJ days a few times, and you're playing the O2 because you don't really play the O2. It's the O2. You're inside the dome, mate. That's big news. You know, it's a big venue, 2,000-3,000 capacity.
We're playing the O2.
That's a big venue.
Yeah.
I love it.
Let's sell it out then. Yeah. So if you want to get yourselves involved, if you're watching on YouTube, there's a link in the description as well. But yeah, come and get involved. It'll be boss. If you're looking for a late Christmas present for someone, or you want one for yourself and you haven't quite decided what you've wanted, get your family or friends to get yourself some tickets, or just treat yourself and your lads, buy yourself a Crimbo Prezi as well. You know, you're more than welcome to do so. Yeah, get yourselves involved with that one. KJ says here, no love for Birmingham. Maybe next. We couldn't have said, or go south and then go to Birmingham. That I can't call Birmingham as the south.
Hour and a half, mate. No, it's easy.
Maybe in the future if there's enough Reds down there. But
I reckon that's within some people's Tinder radar around here. I mean, that's not down south.
Do you think there's lads on swiping left and right on Birmingham?
Mate, 100% yes. And women.
Yeah.
Tell you what, get a Birmingham promoter, young man, whoever it is in there, and get them to get in touch with these lads, and they'll be defo down there.
Absolutely. Off Wine and Dan says maybe Scotland. That is probably next. Spoiler alert. We are looking at Edinburgh, Glasgow. We are hopefully. But yeah, listen, we need to sell tickets for these first. We need to prove to these people that we can sell some tickets. So yeah, get yourselves involved. agpresents.co.uk. Redmen live in London. It's going to be an absolute belter. Right, guys, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. You guys, make sure you check out the watch along on Sunday as well for this big, big game. Last time it was 7. Who knows what it's going to be this time? Thank you very much. Go and get your tickets, and I'll see you all next week. Take care.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.